Welcome to the Real Estate Reality Show. This segment is brought to you by Arrow Moving and Storage. Whether you're moving across the street or across the country, call Arrow Moving and Storage, 719-325-6341. Now your host and back-to-back Best of the Spring realtor, Justin Hermes.
All right, folks, welcome to another show here at Real Estate Realities. Thanks so much for joining me, boy. The heat is on, Patrick, because I tell you what, man, 90-plus degrees, folks. It's red hot, just like the real estate market. And we always talk the good, the bad, what's going on here. And I'm going to tell you what, hot off the press, talking to the boys. Actually, I probably shouldn't even share that. I'll get them in trouble since it's confidential information. But downtown, just east of the Olympic Museum, a 30-story building going in, and then two 27-story buildings going in. It's going to be a mix of apartments, condos, some office space. Boy, it's going to change that skyline completely downtown. It's unbelievable. So very exciting there as we got the good. And I would tell you what, folks, really the only bad is we're still seeing, you know, a ton of bidding wars in that low price point below that 400,000 mark. And really, we do want to see more inventory out there, right? We got to keep Colorado Springs affordable. It's such a beautiful place. And it's got to be on the forefront is, you know, whether it's city council and county commissioners going, let's build more condos, we got to find more affordable housing, folks, because that's what makes a city a great place to live. Anyway, stick around. We're cruising into the second segment here, Real Estate Realities. Very fun show. We got Stephanie Saywall joining us. Stephanie, she's been doing the business much longer than I am, so you're finally going to get somebody with some wisdom on this show. So stick around, Real Estate Realities. You got questions during the break, feel free to give me a call, 232-1063. It's 232-1063. You're listening to Justin Hermes here on KRDO News Radio, Real Estate Realities. Stick around, we'll be right back.
We're back to the Real Estate Reality Show with Justin Hermes. This segment is brought to you by House Check, servicing the Front Range of Colorado Springs for over 25 years with the most complete and personalized home inspection. Call them now for more information at 719-266-1645.
Welcome back, folks. Second segment here, Real Estate Reality. Thanks for sticking around. Very special guest. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, many people in life, they don't enjoy the people they work with. I'll be honest. They don't enjoy who they're surrounded with, and it is a blessing when you're able to work with somebody who has a great heart and is such a team player, and that's what I have. I've been blessed over the years immensely, and so I've been doing this radio show 3 years, and I figured I might as well like pull the curtain back and show you where I'm getting all my information and just have Stephanie come on the show here. So it's Stephanie Saywall. Steph, thanks for coming in today.
Good afternoon, Justin. I am so excited to be here. Thank you.
I know. I told Stephanie, you know, I said, yeah, this is where I go, you know, when I say I'm cruising out of the office. So now she believes me. She's like, oh, you actually are going over the studio and doing some work.
I've heard you on the radio before. I know you're here.
There you go, Steph. So tell the radio listeners a little bit about how you got started in the real estate business, where you're from, and, you know, kind of your background and, you know, what's your why really on you know, what you're doing in the industry.
I want to say I pride myself on keeping a job for a long time. I met John Hermes 21 years ago from a friend of a friend, and she asked me if I was interested in getting into real estate, and it was something different than retail. So I met your dad, John Hermes, and here I am 21 years later. Didn't know anything about it. Kind of learned all on my own, a little bit of training in the beginning. But again, years later, I am very confident with what I do and how I help the real estate part of the business and the rental business. Besides just being a property manager, I want to be that person that is trusted, that maybe somebody comes to me and says, hey, I'm having some problems. I want to understand those problems and help them with that.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. And I see it firsthand, folks. And Steph, you're not originally from here, though. Not from
I
the Springs.
I was
right?
born in Corpus Christi, Texas, but I've lived a couple of different areas in the South, and this is the furthest west I've ever been. And
yeah,
I'm here
how
to
hot
stay.
Is it down there right now in Corpus Christi?
I hate to think about it.
Degrees,
at least
right?
100.
And like 90% humidity?
And 90% humidity. Yep. Not,
yeah. So
not,
Stephanie
not
wears her jacket into the office when it's 90 degrees because she's like, oh, I'm so used to, you know, Corpus Christi. This is way better.
Yeah.
So you moved here originally. How long ago then?
26 years ago. I came here with a retail store in the Citadel Mall. It's no longer there. Great American Cookie Company. From there, I went into banking for a couple of years. And from banking, I came into real estate.
There you go. Awesome. And so did you go, you went straight to REMAX then, right?
Straight into REMAX from the banking business.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And back then, were you doing property management?
A handful. Seriously.
We really?
Probably
from the
had, get-go? Yeah. We probably really? Only had 10, maybe 20 properties.
Really, though? But so it started really... Right, I thought it didn't start until like, you know, 4 or 5 years later, but it was right off the get-go, huh?
Right off the get-go. We had clients who owned houses here, mostly military guys who were leaving town. They weren't ready to sell or couldn't sell. So John Hermes said, we'll take care of your properties.
Yeah, and that's early 2000s then, right?
Very early 2000s. Yeah,
yep.
2000.
Right about on the nose there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very small business.
Yeah, so about 10 of them. And your contracts, your leases, and you probably maybe had one pager or two pager for leases and management agreements?
The leases were 5 pages, and the management agreement was basically one long page.
Yeah, like a handshake.
Like a handshake, yep. And John Hermes' signature on there.
And
yep.
Then how would you advertise the rental properties? Because that was right on the verge of when internet was
did not have much in. Internet. Put a sign in the yard.
Maybe one picture. Do you even take a picture of the front?
Maybe if that. I don't even know if we put it in the MLS. And
because you were still using the books then, right? An MLS book, or was that were you coming in right when they started the
we
online?
We were not using the books at that time. We must have just finished with the books because it was there was a system of MLS. There was a couple of local city periodicals that we would call into, hey, run this ad. So paper ads, Gazette ads.
For the rentals?
Yeah, paper ads.
How long would it take to rent a property?
I want to say I prided myself in getting that property rented within that 30 days. From the time the person turned in their 30-day notice to the time they moved out, I want to say 90% of the time I had it re-rented.
How would you get most of your deals? Was it paper or was the MLS?
No, I think it was paper.
Really?
Because the MLS was only used by agents at that point.
Yeah, by agents because there was no public distribution.
No, no public distribution.
People would probably come in the office though too. Did you get some that would come in the office, say, hey, you got properties to rent?
There could be that too. Yeah, very well.
But paper was big.
Paper
in the
was
Gazette.
Big. Yeah,
that's what it was,
the
Gazette.
Gazette and there was another couple of little periodicals.
Yeah, just kind of like magazines, like free magazines almost.
Yeah, the stuff they toss out in the driveway. I can't even think of it right now. But yeah, phone call.
And you were probably renting, what would you say if you ballparked at a single family home for what, $700-$800?
Probably so, yeah. And that would probably be like a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home for $700 or $800 20 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
And
then everything was snail mail probably. You weren't doing any email statements. It was all... You would probably send him a check, snail mail.
Handwritten checks to the owners, snail mail. Probably no email at that point.
Yeah.
Collect the deposit, get the lease signed. We probably weren't even doing very many background checks then.
Yeah.
We
probably calling their past landlord if you could, and that was probably about it.
That was about it. We had a lender we used to work with that would pull credit, basically. But we didn't have any way to pull. We didn't have a system to pull background.
Yeah.
Nothing like that.
Was it a lot of military still?
It was still a lot of military.
That you were renting to?
It always is. I mean, we're on the south end of town. We, you know, concentrated on that area down there by post. That's where our office was. That's where the houses was. Yeah. And at the time, with John Hermes, we probably, if we took on any new properties, it was close by because it was just me, doing real estate and property management, and I probably didn't have the times or the means or the ways to drive around town, you know, on the north end of town.
Different properties. Yep,
exactly. So just something around the corner, you know, or down in Fountain.
What were the fees back then? 10% still?
No. 5 or 7%.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
all right, folks, don't listen to what she just said. They were 15%. We've lowered them to 10. 5%.
Well, considering.
Jeez, y'all never went out to lunch, I bet, huh?
No.
Just ramen in the office.
Most of the properties we managed were friends or clients of John Hermes. So he cut them a deal.
Yeah.
You know?
And we still do that, though. We've cut a 7% for anybody who's bought through us.
Yeah.
But wow, so yeah, that's.
And today
those days are
we
gone,
manage
folks.
120 properties. We have all sorts of electronic send money in the mail and get it to the client and bank to bank transfers and emails, and nothing goes snail mail hardly anymore. And you know, we don't do everything electronic. We could be a lot more tech savvy, but I think we like the person to person interaction.
Well, I think there's too much tech, honestly, because I know my other buddies who do property management. It's all online portals. And then people are like, I put in a maintenance request. The online portal screwed up or didn't get sent the right person. And for 10 days now, my shower hasn't worked. And I'm like, dude, just why don't you just pick up the phone and call them? Like, I think the internet, people think it's the next best thing because I have an app that can control everything. And you just go, at the end of the day, though, you can call and talk to someone on the phone. It's like a text message. You text somebody something and they get offended and go, well, geez, you're like ticked off at me. And it's the tone that you don't get. And it's the same thing when you're on the phone with somebody and you go, well, hey, did you try this? Where's it leaking from? Can I explain it to my plumber so I know who I'm sending out? So I'm a big proponent of, you know, technology is good for some things, but a lot of the time I think it does more disservice as far as communication. People go, I see it all the time. People go back 10 emails where you're like, you could have picked up the phone and solved it in 2 minutes.
Pretty much. And texting, just you like you said, you don't get that sense of feeling. You can't hear the drip, you can't hear the beep or the blaring or whatever's going on in this person's house. You can't hear it in a text. Pick up the phone, make a call. Again, I've been doing this long enough. I have a very strong personal sense to getting the problem solved, getting the maintenance guy over there, calling the HVAC, the plumber, whoever needs to get over there sooner than later. I can't say I have too many tenants that have griped at me for not getting there.
Yeah, you know? And that's the biggest thing I tell people, and it'll lead into the next segment because we're going to come on for the third segment, folks, and really get into the meat of, like, you know, the top 10 things that you should be, you know, making sure you're executing as a property manager or as a landlord. If you're managing on your own, the top 10 things that make you successful. But I would say one of them is just it's a two-way street. You know, you got to respect the tenant. You got to get maintenance items done well if you want that respect back. You know, would you say that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, you hear horror stories from people that come into our group and they're like, oh, my last property manager, blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, the last owner didn't want to fix this, didn't want to fix that. This is where they live. This is where their family lives. They pay good money. Trust me.
Yeah, right now, especially.
Good money. So owners have to be aware of the condition of their house when they turn it over to a property manager. The tenant has to respect the owner's property and take care of it as their own and make that phone call, pick up the phone. Hey, I see some water on the floor in the hot water room, or my furnace isn't working, or there's, you know, I turned on the water and there's this big loud shaking, banging noise. What do I do? So it's everybody contributing, everybody sharing the friendship, the business sense to property management.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah, make sure you stick around because that third segment will be good. If you own property, it'll give you some tidbits. And we got some clients who buy with us and I tell them to manage it on their own because, you know, it's like Jason Shireman. I'm like, you got time, man. You're off four days of the week.
Right.
You got three properties. We'll help you through it. But manage it on your own. That way you can really learn it. And maybe you're listening right now and you go, you know, I don't have an investment property. I don't know anything about it. You know, then tune in to the next segment. You can at least kind of figure out, hey, what are some of the stuffs? Is that me? Is that my DNA, right? To be a landlord, you know, and kind of feel it out. I think it's a great wealth building tool, the leverage of real estate. Passive income is great. But if you listen to the 10 things and go, boy, I don't agree with any of those, or I don't feel like I would enjoy doing that, then you probably, you know, should just keep socking money in your 401k. As bad as that sounds, because I believe in three buckets, you know, you got to have some diversity. But you know, you also, if you get into it, you want to make sure that you're not naive to what it involves. And hey, when you got to cut a check,
you got to cut a check.
Hot water heater breaks.
Yep.
You got to cut the check.
Be prepared. You got to have a little bit of that slush fund. So anything that's not going towards the mortgage or the HOA payment, tuck it away, because you'll need it someday, unforgivingly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just the way it is. I always tell people, we plan for the worst, hope for the best. And, you know, the rental numbers right now are like unbelievable. I can't believe we're renting stuff for what we are. And so, you know, we know our owners are having cash flow, and it, you just got to save a certain percentage of it, and you should never be relying on that month's more. You're talking about this on the way over here, relying on that month's rent payment to make your mortgage. That is foolish.
It's not wise. Anything could happen. The tenant could run late on their payment. Property managers could take a vacation. We need a couple of extra days. Plan for it. Have a little bit of extra in that account that the money's coming out of. Don't drain it dry. Don't go in the negative or anything like that. And just be smart about it. But expect maintenance issues. Expect something to happen. Expect even the smallest thing. And then don't expect the tenant to know or want to fix it. That's a liability. You know, well, how come the tenant can't do this? Or how come the tenant can't do that? We don't want them to do that. We don't want them.
Worst idea you can have.
We don't want to mess with fire, flame, sprinkler systems, water, plumbing, nothing like that. Call the manager.
Yeah, the most they're doing is replacing a burnt-out light bulb or a smoke detector,
a furnace filter,
those mm-hmm. type of three things where there's not liability. Okay, we're running over. We got some great commercials here. The show sponsors who make it possible, folks. Tune in. You know, make sure you jot down their numbers for their services, and then we'll roll right here to the third segment, and you're listening to Real Estate Realities. If you have questions about the topics we just talked about, give me a call, 719-232-1063. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Reality Show. Now here's Justin Hermes.
All right, folks, we're back here. Third segment of Real Estate Realities. We're chatting with Stephanie Saywall, who's been doing the business longer than I have. We're talking property management, and we're going to get in to just right now the top things on Stephanie. You know, the things you've seen over the years that have made people successful. We've touched on some of them, scratched the surface, respecting the tenants. Don't have the tenants be doing work for you. And let's just kind of get into some other stuff that crosses your mind right away. And you can even say, hey, here's a scenario that was bad. Don't do this.
Don't leave town on an extended vacation in the wintertime and turn your heat off.
Wow. There you go, folks.
Don't leave town for an
extended period of time. These are some basics, but some people don't realize
period of time. Without checking your water supply source.
Or turn shut the water off.
Shut
maybe.
The water yeah. off. Turn your toilets off. It's always shut the main off. Heck, but however, keep in mind you might have a sprinkler system on that property.
And so, we're talking landlords really right now. So these things, as Stephanie's bringing up, is maybe something if you're managing your own property, you go, hey, I'm just going to check in with my tenant and go, do you have any vacations planned? Because you're right, it may be a young couple, and they go, yeah, we're leaving for 2 weeks. We're going to save money and turn down the furnace. It may just say, hey, when you leave, do you mind if I just stop over and make sure everything's okay?
There you go. That's always a good idea. Property owners, maybe leave a couple extra furnace filters around. Give some directions in the mechanical room. Where is the main water shut off? How often should you change the furnace filter? Write with a Sharpie on the outside of your furnace box. Go to your mechanical room. On your sprinkler clock system, put a note that says, do not unplug. That just wipes out the whole system. Turn it back on, no water. The tenant doesn't realize the system's off and you have dead grass.
And while we're on sprinklers, I always suggest people, they say, can the tenant do them? Can my friend Joe Smith do them? And my thing is have someone dude who's licensed and insured.
A professional company. If you use a professional company year after year after year, that person, that company recognizes your system. They know the ins and the outs, how they have to tweak it, what head's going to get broken because somebody ran it over with the lawnmower, why the clock doesn't operate functionally. Do we need a new clock? Watching the head spray in the morning. Just keep an observed eye on the system. Know, familiarize yourself a little bit with the ins and the outs.
Yeah, or look at maybe if you feel like there's a lot of money you got to put in your sprinkler system, look at xeriscaping. I've done shows in the past on xeriscaping and saving on water, because you know as well as I do, the tenants are, we get some good ones, but for the most part, tenants are going to water the lawn as much as you are as a homeowner.
Yeah, and we had a tenant move in, and without knowing it, they wanted to know why they had to pay for the water for the sprinkler system. So as a tenant renting a house versus an apartment, there's a lot more responsibility.
Yep, because Stephanie's, just as you say, that apartment, some people think right away big apartment complex, but no, we're talking a duplex, a triplex, or a fourplex. You then are responsible for exterior maintenance of the property 9 times out of 10. Single family, hands off.
Hands off, yeah, exactly. So as an owner, keep your property in good shape before you turn it over to the management company. Respect your tenant. Don't drive by every day. Don't try knocking on the door when you're not supposed to. Tenants, respect the property. It's not yours. You're paying good money. And if you damage it, you're going to lose good money trying to put that property back
together. Yeah, and maintenance. Don't try to fix it yourself. The biggest benefit of renting is if something breaks,
call.
You don't have to fix anything. You just call. Don't try to fix it yourself. You know, that's a big thing that people don't realize is they say, oh, I'll try to fix it myself. I'll see if it stops leaking after a week. You know what I mean? So that's the big benefit to being a renter. But I would say this is what people don't realize is in the commercial world, there's a very strong tenant-landlord relationship because they're renting to a restaurant owner who has a 10-year lease. And they're going, this is just as much for me as it is for you. I need my money to make my mortgage. I'm going to make sure you succeed. I mean, it goes that far to
the
point where they're like,
yeah,
I'm going to be eating here. I'm going to be telling my friends about it because I want you to succeed. I think we need to see a little bit more of that in the residential where it's, excuse me, in the rental market on the residential side, because I think it's got to be more of, I'm going to really turn over a nice property. And when things need to be fixed, yeah, I'm going to be, you know, thrifty and affordable, but I'm not going to go with, you know, a janky repair or something that I wouldn't want in my house. And respecting how you treat the tenants and with repairs and timely and how you turn over property sets the tone.
Sets the tone. We have maintenance guys, girls that can do a variety of small hands-on stuff. Fix a leak into the sink, unjam a garbage disposal, change out a garbage disposal, faucets. But when it comes to the main bread and butter of the house, the HVAC system, the plumbing, the hot water heater, the sprinkler system, we want the professional. We want somebody who knows what they're doing, not some handyman that has to go Google it or YouTube it. We want the professional. We want the professional HVAC guy to fix the AC. I don't know anything about it. I can tell you how to change a filter, how to put batteries in the thermostat. I can help you unjam a garbage disposal, but I want that professional. And yes, for the homeowner, it might cost a little bit more, but it relieves a huge liability off of them and off the tenant.
Yeah, and the tenants see it. They're not stupid. The tenants see who you send out, and the tenants see how it's fixed, and they see, and they go, okay, that's what you think of me. Pretty much. I mean, that's what you're saying as a landlord is how I'm going to fix this is how I value the house and how I value you as a tenant.
Mm-hmm. Well, we also want the tenant to understand that you take care of the house, you report the problems, we'll fix the problems.
Yep.
We don't want any liability on them. We don't want them thinking, well, I could have done it. No, don't do it. And it's not an insult to them at all.
Yeah.
It's
hey, this is a benefit. Benefit of being a renter.
Yep. And it's respecting them.
Yep.
By not saying, hey, try it yourself. So, yeah.
All right. Any parting words? We got a minute left.
Change your furnace filter every 60 days, period. Don't put stuff down the garbage disposal that doesn't belong. And same goes with the toilet. Thank you.
That goes a long way there, folks. Steph, thanks for coming on. Appreciate
Absolutely,
it.
Justin, anytime.
All right, that was fun. A lot of good knowledge in there. And, you know, what's crazy is I'm starting to hear more from radio listeners call in. They say, I already own like 8 units. I'm not buying any more, but I like hearing your show. And that's why I brought Stephanie on today, because that's good information for people who are managing their own properties. So if you have questions, feel free to reach out, 719-232-1063. That's 232-1063. That's another show in the books. Make sure you're back next Sunday, 10:30 a.m. As we say at the end of every show, it's fun talking mortgage, rental properties. Most important thing is using the gifts God is giving you and giving back to the community. Have a great Sunday.
The proceeding was a paid program on KRDO News Radio. KRDO News Radio does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of the information contained in this program. And the views expressed do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of the staff and management of KRDO News Radio.